I have a reason to praise him. Do you hear me, church? I have a reason to praise him. My tears are always tears of joy. Not because I don't think I'm a man. I know I'm a man. But these are tears of joy. Because if you knew like I knew what the Lord has done for me in my life, I don't deserve to stand here. Don't deserve to be here. But God has been good to me another year and another day. He didn't have to resurrect my life. I could have been one of those that we pass by every day, strung out on drugs, or in some nine by whatever it is cell block. That could have been me. It could really, really could have been me.
Thank you.
That could have been me in the car wreck. Yeah, that could have been me, the alcoholic. That could have been me, the woman beater. That could have been me. But I thank God that it wasn't. That he changed my life. Anybody been changed? I mean, really been changed. I mean, changed enough that you're willing to do what God say do. Amen. No, it's one thing to say, I know I've been changed, and the angels in heaven done signed my name. But when, look, you got to show signs that you've been changed. My mama and them used to sing, if you got good religion, you ought to show some signs. I know they don't sit too well with some folk, but I know what they was talking about. Amen. But you ought to show some signs if you've really been hooked up with Jesus. Amen. 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 Because he is exalted. And his name, I tell you, it rules throughout the ends of the earth. So thank you, Lord, for what you keep on doing for our unworthy selves. Amen. Somebody said, you ain't speaking for me, Reverend. Yes, I am. I speak for you. For our unworthy and undeserving selves. Thank you, God, for what you keep on doing for us over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Come on, John chapter 19. It didn't come to hold you long. John chapter 19. Beginning at verse 25. We're there? And the text read thusly, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said this to his mother. He says, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple, pay close attention, took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I want to speak to you from this subject. Even in bad times, Jesus cares. Amen. You may be seated. Even in bad times, I see in this text that Jesus cares. To God, who is our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, who is our Comforter, to our brother in Christ, Pastor Kingdom, to our officers, our mothers, we give honor unto you. Also to our ushers, thank you so much for helping us to navigate through the worship, and to our music ministry. Thank you for blessing us in song. Amen. Amen. And to all of our Father's children that are present on this morning, whether you be member, visitor, or friend, it is so good for us to be here. Amen. 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 There is no doubt that these are critical times in which we find, or let me say, still find ourselves in. All right. Because the headlines continue from week to week to print out a staggering unemployment rate that's up, mortgage foreclosures that are still up, confidence in those responsible for getting the economy thriving is still up, and there are still outlandish crimes. And if we had to define this age, it could be suggested that there are bad times. I know I'm right about it. And if you don't mind, it's bad times. When police officers will shoot and kill a young black man in California some 20 times. And when they claim their lives to be threatened by only a cell phone in the victim's hands. That's bad times. It's bad times when a gunman would enter into a church and gun down several of the parishioners just because he's angry with his wife. Those are bad times. It's bad times when the state that we live in, the state of Mississippi, decides to make cutbacks in funding to local school districts and send out threats to close those that are not performing on level C or above. Those are bad times. Republicans who are so hell-bent on fighting and stamping out everything from the past administration that they'd rather see families go hungry and without shelter or health care, that's bad times. It's bad times when gays and homosexuals have to form gangs themselves just to protect themselves because of the many assaults they encounter from those in their community. Those are bad times. It's sure enough bad time when your president is the freak of the week who's paying off porn stars to keep quiet about their secret rendezvous while in collusion with one of our greatest enemy, Russia. It's bad times when it seems like no one cares and no one understands, no one will listen. It's bad times when it seems like no one is paying attention to you, when your family is not concerned, when it seems like at one bank will look favorable to you. It's bad times when it seems like no one at the doctor's office can diagnose you, no one can relate to your problems, no one knows your trouble you've seen. It's bad time when no one will hire you, when it seems like no one loves you, when it seems like no one wants you, when it seems like no one will recognize you. It's bad time when it seems like just simply no one cares. I want to suggest to you this morning that no matter how it looks, no matter how the economy is affecting your psyche, no matter how hard the times may appear to you, I stop by to tell you that there is someone who cares. My mama and them used to sing a song, "Someone to Care." Yeah, there's someone who cares who's older than time. There's someone who cares who's more reliable than your health insurance. Someone who cares, who's able to do great things in your life. Someone who can heal you without a physician. Someone who can open doors for you, who can protect you in a time of storm. Someone who can lead and guide you. Someone can turn your problems into opportunities. There's someone who can make your test into a testimony. Someone who can feed you when you're hungry and comfort you when you're lonely. That someone is Jesus. Anybody ever heard of him before? Yes, Jesus, our Lord, who is our Savior, the only begotten of the Father, the bright and the morning star, he who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, he cares. And I need to tell you, if you're sitting in this place today and you think no one cares, guess what? He cares. In our weakest expression of life, Jesus cares. And no matter your problem or predicament, Jesus cares. Our text is the shining example that in spite of bad times, Jesus cares. In this pericope, Jesus is in the midst of crucifixion. He is, because he's on the cross. He has been condemned to die between two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. However, John is careful to paint a picture of contrast. The contrast here is that although there is cruelty and indifference demonstrated by the Roman soldiers, there is also suffering going on by what's left of those who demonstrate great courage to stand there in the midst of such hatred, cruelty, and ridicule. Here's the picture. Jesus, watch what John does. Jesus is suffering as Savior. Mary is suffering as a parent watching her child. Salome is suffering as a concerned family member. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, is suffering as a friend of the family. Mary Magdalene is suffering as a friend. And John is suffering as a beloved friend. Everybody that's in your group cannot be called beloved friend. Although Jesus is suspended on the cross, watch the text. The text lets me know he has not forfeited his power. Though Jesus is dying on the cross, he has not relinquished his authority. If he wanted to get violent with them, he could have, but his kingdom is not about being brutal. It's about leading the blind to the light. Though he's on the cross, the text let me know he's still in charge. He may be dying, but he's still in charge. He may be suffering. He's still in charge. His body may be in agony, but he's still in charge. Watch it. He utters the word, "Gune itu weos." In other words, "Woman, behold your son." I told you I have to impress y'all every now and again. Amen. I know I just messed somebody up. Amen. Although he is in agony and his mother, who gave birth to him, is in pain, Jesus, who is in full control of this situation, he says to her, he said, "Woman, behold your son." Now, when Jesus uses this word "woman," it is not out of disrespect at all. Not at all. It's an acceptable vernacular in that day. However, he is not referring to himself as your son. No, Jesus is not talking about himself because the text has to see that, but he really referring to the beloved disciples. So what he is doing, he is making arrangements for her care, and he is now assigning John to her care. Don't we see that in the text? Jesus, watch this, had other brothers and sisters, but they were not in close proximity. I mean, sometimes when you get in trouble, folk that you really depend on, they ain't nowhere to be found. Jesus is the oldest of Mary's child. He had a responsibility to take care of his mother. Joseph, the carpenter's son, is now dead. Jesus, by virtue of his age and empowerment by the Jewish law, is the titular head of the household. But Jesus now wanted to make sure that his mama, although she is in pain, would be taken care of. Isn't that what any sensible child would do? I mean, he would really make sure, if you really had any kind of mama, you know, one of them kind of mamas that I had, I mean, you really would want to make sure that they're taken care of. Maybe that's what's wrong with this generation. You know, we're so busy taking care of ourselves that we don't have time to take care of nobody else. Because here's the fact. We allow the school district to take care of our children. We allow other people to take care of our spouses. We allow retirement facilities to take care of our parents. We allow the government to take care of our families. But when are we going to step up to the plate and start taking care of somebody? Preach, Myron. Jesus will not abdicate care of his people to anyone else. Even though, watch this, the channel of blessing may seem like someone else is doing the work, Jesus, watch this, is the cause. He's the cause. Because watch this. Here's the reason. Watch what he does. He's constantly working. He's constantly constraining. He's constantly arranging. He's constantly fixing. He's constantly removing. He's constantly providing. And he's constantly freeing. That's enough to praise his name. Because he's always taking care of us. Man, I ain't never been a time in my life that God hadn't taken care of me. Even when I was lost in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But even before I heard the master of the sea, before I heard his despairing cry, he'd been taking care of me. There's never time that he's not making plans and preparation and provisions to see that our needs are not met. No wonder the psalmist said it like this. He said, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I ought to have some witnesses there. Amen. I do need to say here that Jesus doesn't begin taking care of you when you reach retirement age. Fact about it, he's been taking care of you all of your life. From the time you entered through the portals of your mother's womb to the time you were crawling on the ground to the time you learned how to walk to the time you went to school to the time you went to work to the time you became a parent to the time you even became a grandparent, the Lord has been taking care of you. Jesus has reassigned Mary to the care of John, somebody he knows is going to be responsible. And he then looks at John and he says, behold, Gunehe, your mother. He assigns his mother not just to anyone or any old disciple, but Jesus assigns his mother to John and assigns John to his mother. John, watch this, wasn't your run-of-the-mill disciple. Now he wasn't like Peter. I never saw in the text that he really got gangster or he would cuss you out. But John just wasn't your run-of-the-mill disciple. He is referred to, watch this, as the beloved disciple. Being the beloved disciple means something. Yeah. Watch this. See, being the beloved means that John was in a position of intimacy with Christ. That means that John was in a position of privilege with Christ. That means John was in a position of discretion with Christ. It means that he was in a position of favor with Christ. Everybody, look, in your circle, baby, you can't claim as beloved. Because everybody in your circle, guess what, don't have an intimate relationship with you. They don't have privilege with you. Look, there's nothing discretion about them with you. And you look, and definitely there's no favor with them from you. John, watch this, was the pick of the litter. Amy, see, that means you can't fool with everybody. Keep fooling yourself. I know they love, that's my beloved. No, baby. Everybody's not your beloved. Because everybody don't care about you like you think they do. I'm almost done. John, yeah, that's for my college babies, my college students. Amen. You note that. Amen. John was the pick of the litter among the disciples. He was so close to Jesus that he would lay his head up on Jesus' breast. He loved the Lord with more than a superficial Sunday go to meeting attitude. Yeah, he wasn't like we are today. You know, we only love the Lord when he's made a way out of no way and kept me through seen and unseen danger. Yeah, we only love him on Sunday only. And other than that, we're like R. Kelly as he sung on his love letter CD. We just not feeling the love. Amen. That's for my young folk. That went over the older folk here. They want. Yeah, my young folk, they know what I'm talking about. I'm not feeling in love. This is the kind of person that Jesus would entrust you with. Yeah, he's not going to entrust you to just anybody. The Lord has people set up in your life to minister to you right at the point of your need. Because people he can trust to bless you are the people he put around you. People he can trust to minister to you. People he can trust to encourage you. People he can trust to strengthen you. Those are the folk God want to put around you. The Bible says that the disciple took her to his own home. In the Greek, the word home is not really used. So the text would read that disciple took her as one who belonged to himself. So there is a process when the Lord entrusts you into the hands of someone else. Watch it, it's twofold. It takes a command and then it takes obedience. Watch this, because see, it is the truth. See, we have been given commands by the Lord. But if we tell the truth, guess what? We all fall short in obedience. Come on and say amen, at least right there. We should have shouted the roof off. Look, we have been commanded, watch it, to pray without ceasing. But guess what? We don't pray like we should. We've been commanded to evangelize, but we don't evangelize like we should. We've been commanded to study the word, but we don't study the Bible like we should. We've been commanded to tithe, but we don't tithe like we should. Why we won't say amen? I know I'm preaching. He talking about money now. You ain't said nothing to Uncle Sam. You've been getting his stuff together. Fact about it, you've been in a rush. You're breaking your neck now because the 15 round the corner. I got to hurry up and get my taxes done. But we don't care nothing about God. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. It was an honor for John to receive the command of the Lord and stand up for him by assuming care for Jesus' mother. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, it's an honor to serve the Lord. Even in bad times, it's an honor to pray to the Lord. Even in bad times, it's an honor to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In bad times, it's an honor to open up the word of the Lord. Even in bad times, it's an honor to give God his tithes and your offering. God has entrusted Mary to John. And the question is, what is God entrusting into your hands? Has he told you to preach the word? Has he told you to praise his name? Has he told you to encourage somebody else? Has he told you to help somebody along the way? Has he told you to lay hands on the sick? Has he told you to serve the Lord with gladness? Has he told you to lift up holy hands? Has he told you to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord? Has he told you to hang on in there? Has he told you to raise up the child in the way that they should go? Has he told you to raise up a standard? Has he told you to say thank you? Has he told you to lift up his name? What has he told you? It's a privilege and a joy to serve the Lord. Anybody here, do you have joy? I mean, anybody here beside me, do you have joy? Jesus took care of his mother. Jesus entrusted John at the cross. Jesus, he did die. Jesus was buried. Jesus stayed dead all night Friday. He stayed dead all day Saturday and all night Saturday. But guess what? Early Sunday morning, Jesus, he got up with all power in his hand. And guess what? Not only did he get up, but he ascended back to the Father. And guess what? To glory. And look, 40 days later, he showed back up down there. And guess what? He went back, but then he's coming back again. Anybody know he's coming back again? That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be used by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be loved by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be kept by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be guided by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be cared for by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be adopted by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be chosen by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be predestined by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be held up by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be strengthened by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be rocked by him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be living for him. That's why I'm thankful this Easter to be sold out for him, even in bad times. He's all that I need, even in bad times. I'm so glad that he cares. Even in bad times, I can give him my best hallelujah. I can give him my best praise the Lord. I can give him my best thank you, Jesus. I can even give him a dance if I have to. I can even raise up my holy hands and shout unto the Lord, say, yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, to your way. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to go all the way, even in bad times. Jesus, he cares. You ought to bless his name.